In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Gotta say, not a great endorsement by John Greco, whether he meant to or not. Not a great endorsement for the coaching staff and their game plan on Sunday. That was surprising to hear. More on that coming up in just a moment. But first, Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin, they track the season episode by episode in their podcast. It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. They have a post-game show that drops after every game. Obviously, that's why it's called a post-game. It's not called middle of the game. It's not called a pre-game. It's not called, like, a day after a game. It's the post-game. Subscribe to that podcast right now, 92.3thefan.com, the free Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. Greco, boy, it was when he said that he was surprised that they just did seem to be not ready on Sunday. That Kevin Stefanski's been a organized guy. For as any arguments that you can give, there's been a lot of organization. It was a bad performance by everybody on Sunday.
Well, they clearly weren't ready. My question is, why does that mean you have to wave the white flag and you lose the game? Like, you have all the ability in the world to see what's happening. Remember, the Browns aren't some team of rookies.
I thought they tried.
Here's what I mean. They coming into the season, weren't they, by starters, the oldest team in the NFL or second oldest team in the NFL?
One of them, yeah.
So that means you've got a bunch of veterans. You've got guys all over the map. I know they have injuries. Did you watch a 49ers game against the Rams? Both teams.
Christian McCaffrey is in Germany right now seeking a second opinion. Right. It's never good when they go to Europe.
Not good. So there's plenty of teams that have a bunch of injuries. You're telling me that the Browns, with their coaching staff that we have given a ton of credit, and rightfully so, and the rest of the league feels really good about the Browns, their organizationally or their coaching. I mean, this is a coach who's won two Coach of the Year awards. I know everyone's scoffing at it today because they're 1-2, but those things did happen. Those seasons did happen. They were earned, and it's not easy. They don't fall out of the sky. So you feel like you have enough invested around this organization to see that the Giants came out with a game plan that surprised you. Fine, that's going to happen in football sometimes. There are some teams that are willing to throw different things against the wall, right? When they feel that they need to, because the Giants were desperate.
The Giants needed to.
And they know that the Browns going in, 6.5-point favorites, nobody really thought the Giants were going to win that game. So that's going to happen throughout the course of a year. A team is going to come out with something you haven't seen. That doesn't mean you lose the game. That means, oh, okay, we've seen that. We have about 45 more minutes in the NFL game to try to deal with it.
Well,
what do you do then?
That's what I was a little bit in. I don't like, because it feels like we're almost playing the blame game. And I'm not talking about you and I. We play the blame game all the time.
I'll play the blame game. That's fine.
Does it not feel to you like maybe the players are playing blame game here?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, hey, man, like, you were in the game. It was a 6-point game. It wasn't like they just blew you out and you gave up in the fourth quarter. It was a 6-point game. Kevin Stefanski didn't fumble anything. Jerome Ford fumbled the ball. Whether that was on Deshaun Watson or Jerome Ford, I'm not sure. He didn't fumble anything.
Well,
he didn't mess up
that,
the snap exchange.
They couldn't get a yard. Jameis couldn't get a yard on third down, and the fourth down
was
ridiculous.
He's the one that didn't execute that. And that's what
I hated
most.
Did you have a problem with the third down?
No! God, no!
Okay,
no.
Nick in the afternoon yesterday was making fun of that play, and I'm like, that's a play that every NFL team needs to be able to run.
Execute. I mean, just because you don't have your best offensive line, they're still big. They should be able to execute. You didn't execute. Yeah. You got to execute.
Bad teams get third and one.
The most legendary coaches to the youth coaches of America, if you can't gain 1 yard, you don't deserve to win. Well, you didn't gain 1 yard and you didn't win.
That's two plays at it.
Yeah. You had your chances. You weren't able to do it. That's not
and,
execute.
And now the fourth down, they did scheme a guy wide open, and then obviously, for whatever reason, Watson didn't pull the trigger or see it, and then he went to run and didn't get it.
He's not Chris Angel. Like, it's not all smoke and mirrors and deception. Some of it is. Yes, some of it is. But there's going to be times in a game, especially in those moments, you're just going to have to go out and make a play and execute. Man on man, you're going to have to do it. So, no, I had no problem with that whatsoever. I was wondering whether or not they might try that pitch out to to Jerome Ford again. Because I'm going, man, I wonder if they could see this. They definitely saw that on tape, so you know they're going to be ready for something like that on 4th and 1. With Jameis out there, you definitely know. It's one-on-one stuff. You know they're going to see it. So I was wondering if they were going to try something like that again or they were going to throw a new wrinkle. Knowing how they call plays over the last 4 years, I didn't think they were going to call it. They decided to run it with Jameis, and really they should have been able to take care of that business.
There is no doubt Stefanski and the entire coaching staff had a bad game. I know there have been people, when are you guys going to go after Stefanski? I mean, truth be told.
It just depends on when you guys listen.
Well, truth be told, that's a game where how do you not go off on everybody? I mean, that's except for Amari Cooper. How do you not go off on almost every single player? I mean, that's the coaches did a bad job throughout the week. The players, I thought, did a terrible job also for the amount of veterans they have. They didn't really adjust. And unless you're telling me they have no leeway to adjust, like if you're telling me that Deshaun Watson doesn't have the ability to get them out of bad plays, formations, is he not allowed to diagnose things pre-snap? If he's not, then this is all a waste of time anyway. Can we admit?
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If at this stage of Deshaun Watson's career, if he does not have the autonomy to do those things,
I can agree with that.
Then you're going nowhere. If they don't trust him to do that, I hate to say it.
Well, what is he, a 7-year vet?
Right.
8-year vet?
I know he's missed a lot of football, but all right, it's week 3. You've watched tape. You were, you know, when you were in Houston, I mean, Deshaun Watson blew people away with some of the tape stuff. Now all of a sudden he can't do it, like, and he's not able to read defenses.
Your guess is as good as mine, Anthony. 216-474-0092. I wanted to rank the 1 and 2 teams. You want to do this?
I do want to hear from some fans. I do have some questions about where there's some good teams that are 1 and 2 right now in the not just the AFC. I mean, we're talking the NFL as a whole.
Let's go to Kevin in Cleveland. Kevin, you're first up on the fan. Yellow.
Good morning. My name is Evil Kevin. I would like to talk about me, Kevin Stefanski. I am not good at play calling. I refuse to make adjustments, and you guys don't seem that. All those blitzes on Sundays, I refuse to make an adjustment. I don't want to run screenplays. I want to run counters or traps. I want my game plan to work. Ken Dorsey is not the problem. It's me, Evil Kevin. I am the problem.
I guess not.
Dan in Seven Hills, you're next up on the fan.
Hey, good morning,
Dan.
Guys.
Dan,
not in Six Hills, but in Seven Hills.
Let's count them, seven.
Seven of them.
Yes. There used to be a rumor there were only 5. No, they've gone down.
I counted. There's 7.
Well, that's more than me. I don't even know what the Seven Hills are, so.
Oh, they're named. They got names, man. You got to figure that out. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah. Have you guys seen the movie Iron Man?
Yes.
Remember in the scene where the villain is yelling at a scientist that Tony Stark was able to build this in a cave?
I don't remember any of that. I didn't see it. I didn't see that movie. This is a tone call. Tone, take her away.
I do remember the movie. I've seen 3 of them. Are there 3 of them? I've seen 3. Are there more than that afterwards?
Do you remember that scene, though, where I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Vividly. Yeah.
So I think that's the difference between Tony Stark and being Bill Callahan, and that lowly scientist trying to recreate it is Andy Dickerson. Because what Bill Callahan did last year with the offensive line being just as beat up, if not more so, and getting like Pro Bowl caliber out of Dwan Jones as a rookie and getting Ethan Postick to play as Pro Bowl caliber, as beat up as that offensive line and able to actually protect Joe Flacco compared to Andy Dickerson, who can't recreate any of that magic. That's the difference, I think, in the offensive line. And I think Bill Callahan is already sorely missed. And I think that's the big difference between the 2 years.
Well, we can miss Bill. And I got to tell you, Dan, and thank you very much for the call, because you hit on something here. I think Bill Callahan was very involved. I mean, this was a Super Bowl head coach at one point. So in his office, I believe
Was it right next to Kevin's?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't think I was they having brain farts
they,
here.
They made that a deal.
They made that a deal. Yes. So I think Bill Callahan was heavily involved in run game stuff and obviously with some of the pass protection stuff. And, you know, you hate to be the guy that replaces the guy. I know that. So I'm trying to be fair with Andy Dickerson, but this is a mess. This is just a mess. And honestly, it wasn't even great before when guys were healthy. Relatively healthy, quote unquote. I don't know if we've had really any healthy stuff at all this season, but man, that's bad. And I'm getting frustrated with the Callahan, where it's like, hey, he's a really good coach. No disrespect to him. Again, he's a man in his 60s. This time was going to end at some point. So I have to go, who did you replace him with? All right, you replaced him with Andy Dickerson. I need to look at Andy Dickerson and criticize him, examine him. And I need to criticize who hired him. If it was Kevin, if it was Andrew, if it was Paul DiBenedetto or a mix of the three, whatever it was, I need to criticize them. If this guy isn't working out, they're the guys who hired him.
You know what? People have asked us from time to time. We get questions like, who's responsible for the Deshaun Watson trade? Like, who is the one that
we've
really...
we've said our side about it.
But we don't truly know. I don't know that the Browns have been all that transparent on that. They'll just say, well, you know, we make unified decisions. We all get together and we're all on the same page. Collaborative, yes. In this case, I mean, just from what I've heard, Kevin Stefanski, it was not his overarching thought to get rid of Van Pelt and go get Ken Dorsey. I don't know what you've heard, Kenny, but
heard kind of the same thing.
Remember, Van Pelt is somebody who has a lot of friends in Cleveland.
Yeah,
lived here, and you know, sometimes those people talk that don't necessarily work with the Browns, and you know, that's kind of. That's kind of the information that has gotten back to me.
Raj doesn't have to be downtown to find out some of these things.
This is suburban talk now.
Uh-huh.
This is out in the burbs.
Interesting. Yeah,
does that make a difference to fans? Like, if fans knew that this was an organizational thing and not a Stefanski thing to get rid of Van Pelt and to bring in Ken Dorsey.
Guys that they don't trust right now? Yeah, it's a real big deal. And not a good one. Not good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.